You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Okay, folks, well, you know what this show is. You can call it fluff if you so choose, but what I prefer to call it is a well-deserved victory lap that our audience is leading, and we're just trying to catch up. Hey, none of it happens without you. I can't say that enough. I've probably already said it three or four times. I want you to know how much from our hearts and the very marrow of our bones that me and Keith and the rest of the team here are thankful for you giving us the opportunity to do any of this. I can guarantee you it doesn't happen if it's just us, and that should go without saying.
Well, let me just say this, James. Basically, this is necessary. This is like historical indexing that we do at the end of every year. Rather than having someone else come in 50 years later, review the archives, and pick out what they think were the top 10 shows or the top 10 topics or that were covered on this show, we do it for them. And I don't think anybody's in a better position to do it than you are.
It's our pleasure. I got to ask, though, Keith, and we got to get to work here because churning out 20 of these things with a little commentary added to each will take the next 2 hours. But it's going to be something. Listen, if we don't do it tonight, it's not going to get done. And I think we need to do it tonight because it has been such a momentous year. And the battle begins anew next week as we head into 2017. So tonight is for reflection and relaxing and all that other good stuff. I just want to know, Keith, how me and you keep pulling holiday duty? Now, I couldn't help but notice last week it was just me and you and Sam Bushman out at the network headquarters in Utah who were on duty on Christmas Eve. Now, thankfully, we had Paul Kersey and, well, Scoop called in. Scoop called in, Paul Kersey, Jim Lancia, and Courtney from Alabama all over the phone. But actually, coming out into the studio, we were the only two here in Memphis that did it. And now here on New Year's Eve, I sure can't find Eddie anywhere.
Well, my family is up and gone, and I'm not involved in, hardcore St. Jude fundraising like Eddie.
No, I'm giving Eddie a hard time.
But honestly, you're the one with the family and that has all these obligations. And, you know, Christmas morning for me was just me waking up and getting together for lunch, having Christmas dinner with somebody. I mean, yours was a full court press, I'm sure.
Oh, Christmas Eve, Christmas morning. And even tonight, as soon as I leave the studio, I was straight home for some New Year's Eve festivities with my parents and brother and wife and children. But now, all seriousness to Eddie, I only brought Eddie up for this. Please, folks, pray for Eddie. Eddie has been at the VA this week. He had a bike riding accident, and he's fine, but he got damaged a little bit, and so damaged enough to get sent to the VA anyway. Everything will be
apparently
fine.
Apparently running wasn't fast enough for him. He's graduated to a bike. I guess he'll be on a rocket sled next.
But anyway, that is the only reason why Eddie, he was traveling for Christmas Eve, as so many people understandably were, and tonight he is recovering. But he did have a little bike riding accident. So please pray for Eddie on this New Year's Eve or else he would be in here tonight and really wanted to be in here for the Year in Review show. One more thing. I want to give a shout out. I've been meaning to do this for a couple of weeks before we start tearing into the top 20. There is a guy out there that I've never met, like so many people in the audience, although we have met a great number of fans of the show. There are a lot, obviously the majority, that we've never met. The guy out there named Andy Adams, Alt-Right Andy, who for, I guess, about the last year or so, has been taking the time as a volunteer to download our shows every week, almost immediately after the live show of each week is put up into our archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertyroundtable.com. Alt-Right Andy takes these shows, edits out the commercials, and posts them to YouTube. Now, our web traffic is kind of all over the place because there's so many different ways you can listen to the Political Cesspool. You can listen to it on AM radio stations in select markets across the country. You can listen to it via several internet streams. There's not one stream. In one stream alone, you can listen to our live show. There's several. And then, of course, there are several websites that house copies of our broadcast archives. And there's the unlimited listen line where you can call in over the phone and listen to the live show, or you can catch it after the fact because our live show each week replays several times on the network throughout the week. There is the Roku player. That already is five or six different ways that you can access the show each and every week. And then Alt-Right Andy as another one. You can go to YouTube. And this isn't officially sanctioned or anything. He does it out of the goodness of his heart. We're thankful that he dedicates that amount of time to go through and listen.
We need a tip of the hat to Andy.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we're doing right now. 3 hours every week, and then the manual labor of editing out the commercials and the music and all of that other stuff just to give you the raw commentary. And he posted to YouTube.
I think he needs to be listed as the next staff member of our organization, quite frankly, for that yeoman service.
Well, he does it. He does it for other shows, too. And he has a great YouTube channel. And just from that alone, we get sometimes a couple of thousand
hits.
I guess a couple of thousand listeners who wouldn't be listening otherwise. Because if they're listening there, they're obviously not regular listeners because they'd be listening to one of the other methods available to tune into this show. So anyway, end of the year, Alt-Right Andy, thank you, brother. We're appreciative. I don't want you to think that we take that for granted, and we very much are thankful for the additional audience that you bring to the program each week as a result of your service.
Yes. Tip of the hat to Andy, Alt-Right Andy, and also all of the other listeners out here that just by word of mouth get you know, the word out about the political cesspool, and we're growing all the time. Particularly in this past year, we've grown exponentially. I don't think we're alone in that. I was reading that Amaran has experienced this incredible growth this past year. But the Trump phenomenon has given us what Obama's supporters were hyping back in 2008, hope and change. We are going, you know, it was, you know, the Obama administration that said they're going to change America. Well, we hope with Trump we're going to change America back.
That's right. Make America great again. Well, with that being said, folks, it's time for, I guess, what we've been waiting for the whole show. Hopefully you've been anticipating it as well. The Political Cesspool Radio Program's top 20 moments of 2016. It is true. Ever since taking the airwaves by storm in 2004, each year has been bigger and better than the one before. In fact, two of our most profound victories took place in 2015 when we used our radio show to promote an event at Nathan Bedford Forest Park that drew over 500 people. 500 people, that's a crowd of unprecedented size by modern movement
standards.
Sure
beat the five people that the left got out there for their protest.
That's right. 500 people, our radio show did that. And, of course, last year as well, in 2015, we were officially denounced on the record by the United States Congress. Now, there's no other white advocacy organization that can bestow or brag about the honor of being denounced on the record by the United States Congress. Now, I thought that it would be incredibly difficult for us to top 2015 based upon those two accomplishments alone, drawing 500 people to a pro-Confederate rally, getting denounced by the United States Congress.
Let me say this.
But I got to say this. I have never been more happy to be so wrong because we topped 2015 by a mile and then some.
Well, and we also were totally right about Trump. Think about this with Nathan Bedford Forrest. Even with Al Sharpton heading it up several years ago, they got 30 people there on the left wing side of that issue. We, with a week's notice, bring 500 to the park.
Hey, that's absolutely right. Even with government threats from Homeland Security that we need to stop promoting it. Hey, that was last year, though. It was a big one. 2016 was bigger. We're going to get back with the top 20. Number 20 right after the break. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool Radio Program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
That's where I went to 4. All right, let's get down to it, shall we? Let's now look back on a small sampling. Even this top 20 list, which is double the top 10 list that we normally present to you at this time of year, it's still just a small sampling of our most memorable moments from 2016, a year that saw the Political Cesspool radio program thrusted, as I said in the first hour, into the presidential campaign. It was a place that we would stay throughout 9 consecutive months of incessant media coverage. So, number 20s. I'm thankful for Scoop's list. He always does a good job. But this is the official Political Cesspool top 20 moments of 2016. I always have to include our annual Confederate History Month series in any listing of the most memorable moments of any given year, and this year it clocks in at number 20. Every year since our inception, we've dedicated a month, the month of April, to the brave sons of the South who were outnumbered and outsupplied, but never outfought. As descendants of Confederate veterans ourselves, we take pride in being the only radio show on the AM airwaves that revisits with respect and admiration the Southern cause and the men who fought to protect their homes and firesides from 1861 to 1865. Our ancestors, each week during our annual Confederate History Month series, we offer at least 1 hour of airtime and numerous blog entries in tribute to our boys in gray. Keith, I know that's a very special month of programming to you as well, and you always contribute mightily to it.
Well, it's not just historical interest either in respect for ancestors. This is the first time that people really got together and challenged the hegemony of the federal government, the Leviathan government that basically Trump is going to try to drain the swamp on. We were the first people to do it. We shed actual blood. Our ancestors did. And quite frankly, I'm proud of their efforts to this day, and all Southerners should be proud of their ancestors rather than be ashamed of them, which is the emotion that the left is trying to engender in us. We need to understand that the left is evil. We say on this program that liberalism is the modern face of evil, and nothing shows that like their approach to the Civil War.
And it's not just Southerners, although Southerners certainly appreciate our Confederate History Month series. I get emails from a lady in Minnesota who every year says she looks forward to our Confederate History Month series, and people from around the world do as well. Number 19, we got to move a lot faster than that on these other 19, and we'll never get through. Number 19, the political cesspool, thanks to fortuitous timing, and Sam Bushman was the first media outlet to break the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge story. So we should have known that 2016 was going to be a banner year when, during our very first broadcast of the year, this radio show and this radio network became the first media outlet to present coverage about the takeover of the government facility in Oregon. Live coverage. Our show was covering that breaking news live on the air before anyone else, and we were the first media outlet in the country to air a live report from an eyewitness. That eyewitness was our very own Sam Bushman. We scooped the establishment media in that regard by 2 full hours. Sam had been in Oregon that day to support a law-abiding march to participate in a law-abiding march in support of the two ranchers who were being persecuted by FedGov. But not only do we report on issues that the establishment wouldn't dare cover truthfully, but there also exists a growing number of occasions where our program has bested billion-dollar news outlets by beating them to the punch, and we're only live for 3 hours each week. Thank you, Sam, for making that one happen on week one of 2016.
Well, just think about this. We were the first to break the Obama birth certificate story out of Hawaii.
Tim Adams, who was a senior elections official, came on this show to do that.
And we've been the first on several other events. Help me with this, James. What are some of the other
ones?
Well,
Sean Bergen was outside.
Yeah, right. Yeah, with the shooting of the two police officers in New York City by the black malcontent who was
Sam Bushman was covering 9/11 live. Sam Bushman, of course, continued coverage of what happened in Oregon throughout the year. So I'm just saying, not only are we here to offer commentary on the issues that nobody else would dare touch, but we actually, in some cases, despite a shoestring budget and only being on the air 3 hours a week, we're able to scoop national press.
We scoop CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, all the other groups.
Well, and we don't talk to them either. That's actually number 18 on the countdown. Looking back on the year that was, rejecting interviews with the Wall Street Journal and New York Times, along with 100 other establishment mouthpieces. We've been fortunate over the course of our 12-year run to have been able to build a reputation that puts us squarely on the radar of the global press. And for an 18-month stretch, beginning in June 2015, the biggest news outlets in the world sent well over 100 requests for interviews, all of which were rejected. And included in this pile of denials were requests from two of the most prominent journalists, quote unquote, from two of the most prominent newspapers in the world. I actually posted to our website the email back and forth with Beth Reinhart of the Wall Street Journal and Nick Confessor of the New York Times. So check that out. That's in the top 20 countdown. Rejecting the media. Keith, a lot of people...
You know, other people make news by what they do. We even make news by what we don't do, because there is method to our madness. We know, finally, how to deal with the mainstream media. James has got it down to a science now, and as a result, we have our own tape, our own evidence of what actually went down, and we always publish that now. We're not going to do it otherwise. Because, like we said, if they can't say anything bad about us or about our movement, they say nothing at all. So we make sure that the truth gets out, because that's what we're here for. We think that's our highest ethical duty, is to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
And we'll tell the truth to other people when we want to, but we're certainly not obliged to play the media's
game. We will speak truth to power, which is the trite catchphrase of the left. We're the ones that really put it into practice.
That's absolutely right, and we do it here by making our own media. Number 17, well, we rejected so many interview requests, but there were two outlets this year that we were always happy to talk to. Number one, of course, Sam Bushman and the Liberty Roundtable program. I appeared at least once a month on that show throughout 2016, but also Red Eyes Radio. So, as we just mentioned, since March 1st, nearly every establishment media outlet in America, many others around the world, attempted to contact us for interviews regarding our so-called association with the Trump campaign. Now, without exception, every request was rejected until after the election was over. I did do an interview with the New York Times a couple of weeks ago. But when we received a media inquiry from Red Ice Radio, we listened. After this initial appearance on Radio 314 back in March, hosted by Lana Lochtev, our program has since developed and blossomed a relationship, a collaboration between the Political Cesspool and the Red Ice family of programming that now spans multiple and reciprocal appearances, including an election night appearance that aired live as the votes were coming in. As I mentioned, we were on the air live with Sam Bushman that night and Red Ice as well. Henrik Palmgren and Lana are doing amazing work, and I look forward to a continued partnership with them in the coming year. We are building our own media now, and it's not just us. Others are doing great work as well, and we're happy to work with them and partner with them. It's happening, folks. It's taking place around you.
We're doing the networking, folks. Another thing, you know, I don't know if this was on your list, but I would add our interview with Ann Coulter. That was really a big thing. Quite frankly, if you're listening, we think you're incomparable. You are irreplaceable. You're somebody that is brilliant and gives a commentary that you can get nowhere else on the issues, and you're always spot on. Basically, the only person that came on as early as we did on Trump was Ann Coulter. She got on board Trump, on board the Trump train at about the same time we did, and we were right, and the others were wrong. George Will and people like that are still raking in big money, but they were as wrong could be about this, and he's supposed to be a prognosticator. Silliness.
Well, the interview with Ann Coulter didn't make the list only because it was sort of lumped into the experience we enjoyed at the Republican National Convention. Should also mention that Sam Bushman was the one who got that interview lined up. So without Sam... Yeah, but the photo of me and Sam standing with Ann Coulter conducting that interview went viral and is now used to slime Ann Coulter in just about any article...
And as Ann always does, she like General Farr, she rides to the sound of the guns.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
For generations, Americans on the receiving end of unwanted police attention leading to a dubious arrest have been counseled that they might beat the rap, but they can't beat the ride. In a number of jurisdictions, even those who beat the rap can't avoid being fined or otherwise punished. Corey Statham, who was arrested in Ramsey County, Minnesota, was charged with disorderly conduct and released from jail 2 days later when the charge was dismissed. When he recovered his personal effects, Statham discovered that $46 in cash he had at the time of his arrest had been stolen as a booking fee. He was given $21 on a debit card, but most of that amount was tied up through a variety of other spurious fees. It eventually cost him more than $7 to withdraw what remained of his money. This practice, which imposes punishment without an actual criminal conviction, is standard procedure in Ramsey County and in many other communities nationwide. In Kentucky, municipal governments routinely bill people held in jail for the cost of incarcerating them, even if all charges are later dismissed, observes a New York Times report. In Colorado, 5 towns raise more than 30% of their revenue from traffic tickets and fines. In Ferguson, Missouri, city officials have consistently set maximizing revenue as the priority for Ferguson's law enforcement activity, a Justice Department report found last year. A civil rights lawsuit filed on behalf of Statham and other victims of the municipal incarceration racket is scheduled to be heard by the Supreme Court during its current term. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. US.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, take a bow. Take a bow, because we wouldn't be talking about the top 20 moments that the political cesspool was able to enjoy in 2016. We wouldn't be talking at all if it wasn't for each and every one of you tuned in, but especially those who pray for us and send in financial contributions. Don't forget, TPC's fourth quarter, our Christmas fundraising drive, ends tonight. Tonight, if you're listening live, if you're listening to us in the archives after Saturday night, you've already missed it if you haven't contributed already. And thank you so much for those of you who have. But if you have not, you still have a couple of hours as we broadcast live this evening to take advantage of these great incentive gifts and be part of a winning team. When you contribute to this show, you share in ownership in everything that we're able to do. And we enjoy being able to share that experiences, all of this stuff with you. So if you've not yet contributed, please go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. Thepoliticalcesspool.org, our official internet headquarters. Click on the Donate tab. Anything you can give helps, $5, $25, $50. But if you give $100 or more, $100 will get you Jim Lancia's book, Downtown White Police. You got to have this book. The proceeds go to support, of course, our program, keep our great work on the air, our unique work on the air. Jim Lancia will get a taste as the author of the incentive book, and some of it kicks back to the network as well. So everybody makes out as a result of your contribution. You're not just helping us, you're helping our friends as well. So go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and give what you can tonight before the ball drops. Before we start singing Auld Lang Syne, we want you to go and contribute if you've not yet done so in December. Now we're counting down the top 20 moments. Number 20, our Confederate History Month series, which aired this year in April, as it always does. Number 19, when Sam Bushman called in to TPC during the first show of the year to break news live and on the scene as people were taking over the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. How about that? Rejecting interviews with 100 plus media outlets this year, including the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. Interviews with Red Ice Radio and our continuing collaboration and partnership with their fine work. Now we're down to number 16. Number 16, the Washington Post literally pouted in their paper that we had received press credentials from Donald Trump and they hadn't. Listen to this. So being bona fide radio stars on the AM airwaves comes with a few perks, like being able to secure press credentials. We got credentialed by the Trump campaign and the Washington Post didn't. Some pouting ensued at WAPO. And this is, I'm reading directly from their newspaper. This is a blog entry, July 1st, 2016. Okay, so listen to this. Donald Trump announced on his Facebook page that he's revoking press credentials of the phony and dishonest Washington Post, quote unquote, after the publication wrote an article highlighting comments Trump made linking President Obama to the deadly terror attack on a gay nightclub in Orlando. The Trump campaign has repeatedly banned reporters from across the political spectrum from attending Trump events. The Trump campaign has, however, provided credentials to disreputable media like white nationalist radio host James Edwards.
You know, you talk about the whole spectrum. The whole spectrum that they recognize is from lunatic left to light left. There's nothing left, right, of center that they consider to be a legitimate news source. All this baloney they've been talking about, fake news, they're the purveyors of fake news. Think of all these so-called events of, hate crimes and whatnot that turn out to be hoaxes, turned out to be perpetrated by the people that are supposedly the victims of these hoaxes. They report them breathlessly all the time. So consequently, Trump has figured out the right way to deal with them, which is to blithely ignore them. That's all you can do, because they're in an echo chamber. You know, I'm not sure that we don't have a larger listenership than Washington Post has subscribers.
Well, so that around the same time we got credentialed to attend a Trump rally and broadcast a live show of TPC from the press pen while the future president was speaking, and we got credentials at RNC. All of this was happening around the same time the Washington Post had their credentials yanked by the Trump campaign, and of course they pouted about it in their publications saying we were disreputable media. In a statement in that same article, Washington Post executive editor Marty Baron called Trump's decision, listen to this, Keith, quote, nothing less than a repudiation of the role of a free and independent press, end quote. Now, I got a hearty chuckle out of that at the time. Marty surely knows that the Washington Post is everything but part of a free.
It's a propaganda arm of the Democratic Party.
It's simply a vomitous mouthpiece for the regime that lacks any semblance of objectivity or diversity of thought. And the Washington Post is, of course, a perfect representation of how pathetic and evil our media has become.
Just a manifestation of Jewish power and influence, unfortunately.
They didn't like that we were credentialed and they weren't, though. All right, number 15. You remember this, Keith. We were attacked just a couple of months ago for advocating proper gender roles. Now, the novelty of keeping up with all of the stories written about our work can become monotonous. But I was even a little surprised by the flurry of articles, some hysterical, that were published in August in response to common sense observations that we made on this program regarding proper gender roles. Now, here's one example. Trump supporter James Edwards, the white nationalist host of the Political Cesspool, says, quote, under God's law, a woman should not have dominion over the household, let alone be president. For Edwards, who doesn't even think women should have the right to vote, quote, the husband is the ruler of the house under God's law, and that's my law. That's the law I abide by. There were about a dozen articles. You never know what's going to trigger the media. Now, obviously, anything that they thought that they could use that would damage Donald Trump, they jumped on. And I can understand why they would try to tie us so intimately to Donald Trump, thinking that that would reflect poorly on him. Obviously, it didn't. Perhaps it's what put him over the top. But this had nothing to do with anything other than it was just another piece of commentary and just another show on just any other
week. Well, see, they have these topics that they think are like Caesar's wife and beyond reproach, and that nobody who is a decent human being can disagree with them. And, for example, being in support of homosexual rights and transgenderism is considered to be holy writ as far as they're concerned. So all this free press that they gave us and free press that they gave to Trump was basically like some child, the class tattletale, running up to the teacher and saying, looky here, Donald Trump said a dirty word, or James Edwards said a dirty word, and the rest of the class just laughs at them because, you know, they're just proving what precious little nincompoops they are.
And these were major media outlets, establishment outlets that were covering this. I don't see anything controversial in those statements. I stand by those 100%. I stand by everything I've ever said 100%, at least when it's taken in the right context.
Well, if the Bible backs you up, I don't really see how a Christian can find much fault with it.
That's right. But when taken in context, I stand by everything, but I especially stand by these. Number 14 on our top 20 countdown, touring Tennessee with Philip DeWinter. Now, we may be persona non grata, Keith, in the eyes of cucked politicians here in America, but we have been successful in forging friendships with a number of high-ranking elected officials in Europe, such as Philip DeWinter, a member of the European Parliament, and, of course,
Anna van der Merwe, who is also
a senator in the Belgium government. And so they were both at the American Renaissance Conference, as were we, Keith. And after the conference, they asked if we would be kind enough to take them on a tour of Memphis, and so we did. And that was just a really enjoyable experience, being able to rekindle our acquaintance with Philip DeWinter after the conference, spending a relaxing day touring Memphis. You gave that tour, Keith. We went in your car, had a great time with Philip DeWinter, and there you go. So one day the day will come, though, when we're traveling around with members of Congress and senators, giving them the tour of Memphis, but America is not quite as uncucked as some of the leading lights of Europe.
Well, you know, quite frankly, just think of this. We're ahead even of Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. They are now, I know that Putin is doing this, and I would recommend that Trump do this too, contact the leaders of the right-wing alternatives in Europe, like Marine Le Pen, Geert Wilders, Viktor Orban, all these people like this. They are, you know, on the linked list with Vladimir Putin. Trump needs to reach out to them as well, see if we can flush some of these people like Frau Angela Merkel and David Cameron out of positions of power and authority over there and get people that will really represent the citizens of their nations on the world stage. We were doing it, and before anyone else was doing it, before it was cool, we've had numerous people that were in the European Parliament. We've had Nick Griffin over here. We've had all sorts of people, James. You could tell us better than I can.
Well, that's right. And we're working with our people who are doing good work on behalf of our people wherever they may be in the Western world, with our brothers and sisters in Europe as well as those across the United States.
And we consider those people in Europe our people just as much as people in America.
Sure. Of course we do. There's no doubt about that. And that was number 14, being able to tour Memphis with Philip DeWinter and Anka Vandersmirt. Number 13, speaking at the League of the South Conference. Now, it's always rewarding when we're able to hit the road and make public speaking appearances. One event in September, however, was particularly gratifying. These Southern-themed events, Keith, I know you as well as I, always feel completely at home. We always feel completely at home there, and I very much enjoyed visiting with listeners of the radio show and with Brad Griffin when I spoke to the League of the South Conference in Arkansas in September. Absolutely wonderful fellowship, the likes of which only Southerners can fully appreciate. That's number 13 on the list. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned. The countdown continues.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E, free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, the foundation of this show tonight is built around the countdown of the top 20 moments of our year in radio here with the Political Cesspool Radio program. We are counting down numbers 20 through 10 this hour, and then the top 10 in the third and final hour. Just a quick review. Number 20, our annual Confederate History Month series. Number 19, Sam Bushman scooping the entire media by being the first correspondent to break news of the situation at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. Number 18, rejecting over 100 interviews, including Wall Street Journal and New York Times this year. Granting interviews to Red Eyes Radio, number 17. Number 16, the Washington Post pouting over the fact that TPC had Trump press credentials and they didn't. Number 15, being attacked for advocating for proper gender roles. You know, I don't know if there's any other show but us that celebrates being attacked. I think a lot of people would try to pretend as though it didn't happen or run and hide from it. We take it with
the left is doing us a favor when they come after us. It's like, is there such a thing as bad publicity? Not when it comes from the mainstream media.
Not as far as our audience is concerned, and not as far as we're concerned, that's for sure. Number 14 on the top 20 countdown, touring Tennessee with Philip DeWinter. Number 13, I ran out of breath trying to shoehorn this into the last segment to make up some lost time. Number 13, though, speaking at the League of the South Conference, hey, that was just an incredible day. For anyone who was there, they can attest, but I really enjoyed that weekend. And we had a live broadcast that night featuring Brad Griffin and some of the other people, R.G. Miller, who was the organizer of that conference, and some other people who were there and took place in that, speaking to the League of the South Conference in September. Number 13 on our top 20 moments of 2016. Number 12, my interview with the New York Times. So I think number 16 was rejecting the New York Times. They asked for several interviews this year. The last one we granted, granting an interview with the New York Times. So we talked about this recently.
But done by texting.
Well, we did it via email. That's right. So we'd have a full and complete transcript. But so as fate would have it, and we covered this recently because it just happened a few days ago, so we won't cover it extensively in this countdown, or we don't have the time to, but the zero-tolerance streak of shunning the media ended a few days ago at a record 18 months when I agreed to let Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Serge Kovaleski interview me for a New York Times featured article that appeared on page A1 of the Sunday, December 10th edition, and we have the full transcript of that exchange at our website. Check it out. The reason for ending my detente with the media was simply that I figured with Trump now being president-elect, my comments could no longer be used against him. Plus, what better way to break an impasse than with one of the most celebrated reporters for the biggest newspaper in the world? Since December 10th, however, we rejected a handful of subsequent requests from other outlets. So back to our normal behavior with regard to the press. But Keith, we covered this extensively the last couple of weeks on the show. You read the article, you know what that's about.
Well, the article bears no resemblance to James's actual interview. There's a little bit in there. I think they had, two brief paragraphs.
But those two paragraphs were entirely fair and probably the only objective paragraphs that appeared in the whole piece.
But the whole tenor of the article as a whole was very dishonest and derogatory towards the alt-right. But James, quite frankly, again, the political cesspool comes across as being the reasoned traditionalist Christian conservative part of the alt-right. And quite frankly, that's exactly where we want to be positioned.
Well, there's no doubt about it that we have an audience that is unique to the other white advocacy organizations. Not saying that it's better or worse. It's ours, and it's a reflection of who we are. And so it's the one that, of course, we care about and love and want to protect the most. But
that's our turf.
It is. And that's who we want to serve because, again, it's a reflection of ourselves. And no one else is catering to really an explicitly Christian pro-white audience. A predominantly Southern audience, although now, of course, we do have listeners all over the world, and we're just as thankful for all of them as well. But all of the other groups out there that are doing great work have different audiences. Jared Taylor and American Renaissance, great work. They reach a more, I don't know, I can't really say more intellectual because our audience is so intelligent, but an intellectual, esoteric audience. Jared does phenomenal work with what he does. It's a more science-based.
His is a race-based, and he totally avoids Jewish power and influence. And you have Occidental Observer that focuses on and emphasizes Jewish power and influence.
Kevin McDonald, yes, that's absolutely right. And they do great work. What I'm doing now is showcasing and highlighting the differences. But when you put them all together, you've got a movement. Obviously, Richard Spencer with his Young Bucks are doing a totally different thing, although there's overlap in terms of the overall cause. It's different audiences with different leaders, And no one person can be all things to all people. And when you try to do that, you crash and burn. So we're thankful for our audience, which is unique when compared to the other leading lights out there. Peter Brimelow with VDARE focuses primarily on immigration. So all of it together, and there's so many others. I mean, we're going to leave out. Once you start doing a list, you feel bad because you're going to leave out an obvious choice, an obvious leader out there that's doing great work. But for everyone out there who is a leader, I think they are doing their own thing with their audiences. There's a lot of overlap, a lot of cooperation, but we have our audience, and we're very thankful for it. So,
and then there's Ann Coulter, and that's basically every time that she puts pen to paper, it's like the left has stirred up a hornet's nest. You know, they come out screaming and hollering, running in the other direction.
And she's not totally an explicitly pro-white advocate, although she seems to be tiptoeing on in further and further.
She and Pat Buchanan... there's a special bond between us and them.
Well, of course, with Pat, I wouldn't be here without Pat. He gave me my start. He's been on the show several times. Of course, Ann Coulter appeared on this network. Sam Bushman and I mutually interviewed her at the Republican National Convention. That interview aired on both of our programs. She attended the VDARE Christmas party this month. So I think she's coming over. She should reach her destination, hopefully.
She realizes there's nothing to be gained by in fact, she pulls no punches. And she takes no prisoners, and that's what we like about her.
All right, so number 11 on the list. Number 12, which we just covered, was the interview that I granted to the New York Times, ending an 18-month streak of denying all interview requests, unless they came from Sam Bushman or Red Ice or Jonas Deguerre and his outfit in Sweden. But number 11, Donald Trump Jr. tweeted about Skittles, and the media attacked us again. All right, so keep in mind, folks, that as we count this down from number 20 to number 1, this list is not in chronological order, but rather ordered in terms of what I viewed were the most significant moments for our radio show during the year that was from number 20 all the way down to number 1. Number 11, Donald Trump Jr. in the Skittles thing. So what was going on was Donald Trump Jr. made that tweet about Skittles, comparing them to refugees, so-called refugees, and the media lashed out violently by regurgitating the exact same attacks that it had launched in March after Sam Bushman and I interviewed the Scion. And we're going to get to that in the top 10. We're at number 11 now. But I
had no idea that you had anything to do with Skittles until that article came out.
Well, it was incredible because that was a week-long tempest. It was a resuscitation of national news scrutiny. And by the time that week-long tempest was over, the tale of our on-air questioning of Donald Trump Jr. had been retold in three separate stories in the Washington Post. Now, this is in a single week. And the top news story, page A1 above the fold in the New York Times, among countless other publications, all breathlessly rehashing an interview that had gone stale 7 months prior. But, Keith, that was an interesting one because, of course, they attacked me and tied me to Trump Jr. and everything.
Skittlesgate, they should have called
it. Skittlesgate. But that was the first time in my life that I appeared in two articles in the New York Times and the Washington Post on the same day. Now, you got to be doing something to get in the Washington Post two separate articles in the same issue.
You're the man they love to hate, James.
Well, we didn't do nothing.
Didn't do nothing
in that case. And anyway, number 10, and we'll wrap up this hour with that, and then we'll go from number 9 to number 1 in the third and final hour, not just of the night, but of the year. Number 10 being named one of the key players of the alternative right. So everyone remembers that Hillary Clinton denounced the alt-right quite famously last
fall.
Thank
you, Hillary.
Yes, during a speech in Nevada. And after that, there was an explosion of media interest in the alt-right that, of course, continues to this day.
You know, she spoke so infrequently in this campaign. Whenever she spoke, it was like the Oracle at Delphi with typically negative results.
That's
as
right.
The Oracle at Delphi did.
I don't claim to be the leader of the alt-right. I mean, really, Paul Gottfried kind of was the first to do it. Richard coined it from there. And what Richard has done with the alt-right is obviously that's more his bag than mine. But several pieces of media interest included yours truly and the political cesspool as leading lights or key players of the alternative right. What's interesting about that to me, of course, is we've been on the air for 12 years, longer than almost any organization out there other than the Council of Conservative Citizens, VDARE.
Amarin.
And Amarin. I don't even know if the National Policy Institute is more than 12 years old. So there's only a handful of organizations out there that have been doing the work consistently as long as we have. Certainly there's individuals, David Duke, others, that have been doing it. But we're one of the most longest tenured pro-white advocacy organizations in the world, and certainly the longest tenured media outlet for pro-white thought in the world.
Most people
years.
Can't take the punishment. They bail out. But we're like the Timex watch commercial. We take a licking and keep on ticking.
That's right. But I bring that up to say this. We've been public advocates for 12 years, and our presentation and views have remained consistent before, during, and will remain so at long after the rise of the alt-right. So if we're alt-right, that's fine. I certainly, and we've talked about this, I agree a lot with what the alt-right is doing, almost universally with what the alt-right is doing. We have a little bit different audience than some of the other people of the alt-right. But, hey, we've been called a lot worse than the alt-right, and certainly we share friends and common cause with alt-right. And so if we're alt-right, that's fine with me. And if we're going to be alt-right, we might as well be a key player, as the media suggests we are.
Well, if we're the alt-right, I guess that the New York Times and Washington Post would be the alt wrong.
All right. No pun intended. All right. We've done number 20 through number 10 on the top 20 list of TBC. Another 9 through 1 coming up next.
Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.